Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevomos Daf Pei Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah. You will find 8 lines from the top of Daf Pei Aleph. Before we begin the Mishnah, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading. A couple of points are dealt with in this Mishnah. Soros v'Androgynous will deal with the Soros, the individual who we've discussed quite a bit in the last few Dapim, the male, the man who hasn't matured in a normal way, and hence he's incapable of procreation. An androgynous individual has both gender signs, v'yacholtam l'hachil b'truma, and their ability when marrying a woman, if they themselves are Kohanim, can they enable their spouse to partake of Truma, which in a regular Kohen marriage, so the spouse, even if she's not from a Kohen family, she is entitled to partake of Truma. What about in their case? Another topic that will be dealt with, Tumtum Shenikra V'Nimsa Zohar. Tumtum is an individual born with his gender organs covered. In the course of time, the covering was cut open, torn open, and it was revealed that he is a male. What halachic ramifications happens then? The Mishnah. Soris Chamo Kohen, a Kohen who happens to be a Soris from birth, Shenosa Bas Israel, that marries a regular Jewish woman, ma'achila b'truma, enables her, entitles her to partake of truma. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, androgynous kohen, shenosa bas Yisrael, an androgynous, the androgynous individual who happens to be a kohen who married a bas Yisrael, ma'achila b'truma, entitles her to eat from truma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tumtum Shenikra V'Nimtza Zohar, a Tumtum who's, as we said, he's an individual whose organs of gender are covered over, but Shenikra means it was then torn open, the membrane or skin that was, whatever was covering it, opened, V'Nimtza Zohar, and it was revealed that he is a male, Lo Yachloitz Mipnei Shu Kesoris. If there is no if there is another brother, so that you have a couple of brothers in this family, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven, let us say, died, leaving no children. Shimon is a Soros, and Levi is normal. So we say that Shimon, the Soros, or the Tumtum Shenikra, that turned out to be Zohar, he should not do the Chalitza, but rather the other normal or healthy brother. Androgynous noisei avalo nisa, an androgynous individual, according to this opinion in the Mishnah, is viewed as a male. He is able to marry, but cannot be married. Means he cannot have a male, a healthy man, come and marry him, the androgynous. Rabbi Elazar Omer, androgynous chayovin olav skila kezachar. In the case of a sexual relationship, an androgynous would be like, is viewed as a man, so that if a healthy man has intercourse with an androgynous, so there will be a chiyuv skila, as is the Torah's mandate for any two regular men that engage in that with homosexual relations. Skila, by the way, is death penalty, death by stoning. The Gemara opens up with a comment or question focused on the beginning. The beginning of the Mishnah mentioned that a Sris Chamo Kohen is Machil B'Truma. Maybe before we continue with the Gemara itself, we should just point out that the last couple of lines of the Mishnah may appear to be redundant, whereas the Shita, the second to last Shita, just before Rabbi Elazar said Androgynous Nosev Avalonisa, that would indicate the androgynous individual is a regular man, and Rabbi Elazar seems to be saying the same thing. Rashi mentions that the Gemara will explain that particular controversy, even though you don't see any expressions of controversy in the words of the Mishnah per se. Now, we in the Gemara, Pshita, the Gemara asks, if Pshita means, is it not obvious that a Sris Chama Kohen who marries a woman enables her to eat Truma? Like, why not? After all, it's a Kohen marrying a woman. Why shouldn't she be able to eat Truma? So the Gemara answers why the Mishnah is needed. Mahu Detema, I would have thought Moilid Machil, only a Kohen who is capable of procreation is also capable of enabling his spouse to eat from Truma. She'eno Moilid. However, a Kohen that's not Moilid, Eino Machil. If he's not capable of procreation, so he also would not be able to bestow Truma rights on his spouse. Now you might ask, where does that thought even come from? So Rashi explains. Rashi says, "Ma'u detema moilid machil de daikinon." We would be emphasizing or focusing on the expression "vilid beso heim yochlu." Those that are born in the house of a kohen eat from truma, and we would take the expression "vilid beso haroy lahilid yachil." A kohen who's capable of procreation, of enabling his descendants of his children to partake of Truma, so he himself, he is capable of enabling the spouse to eat from Truma. However, the thinking was that if he's not Molid, so he doesn't enable others to eat Truma. Kamash Molon, our Gemara ends off by this section by saying that that's what our Mishnah comes to dispel. And don't think that if, just because he's in a Moilid, that he's incapable of procreation, therefore he doesn't enable someone else, the spouse, to eat from Truma. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Oimrim, Androgynous, they have spoken about an androgynous Kohen enables their spouse to eat Truma. Omar Reish Lakish, Machila B'Truma, V'ein Machila B'Chaza V'Shok. Actually, before we go on in the Gemara, we should glance at our topic heading, Androgynous Kohen, E Machil, B'Chaza V'Shok. There's a discussion concerning whether an androgynous Kohen enables his spouse to partake of the sacrificial portions that a Kohen receives. And those sacrificial portions of meat are called Chaza V'Shok. So, is a Kohen who's an androgynous machil b'chaza v'shok b'truma? Does he enable the spouse to partake of truma? D'oraisa, the Rabbanon, will speak about truma that's obligatory on a Torah level, and there is truma that's obligatory on a rabbinic level. We'll also factor into this discussion not only truma as being obligatory to give to a Kohen on a Torah level, but there's also a phenomenon of during a time period in which the Truma is obligatory on a Torah level, during that time period, there are certain fruit, most fruits are obligated in being tithed only on a rabbinic level. And then there is a time period where there are no tithes even on no tithes whatsoever on a Torah level. So you have items, we have to be clear about this, there are items that are Doraisa Dorabonon, and there are time periods that are Doraisa versus Dorabonon. Later, the Gemara will get into a discussion that we call on the side, a subtopic, is Haim Truma Bismanazeh Doraisa Dorabonon, is the need to tithe Trumas nowadays, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, is it a Torah level obligation, or is it dropped down to a rabbinic level obligation? Now the Gemara, Omar Reish Lakish, Machila B'Truma V'Ein Machila B'Chaza V'Shok. When Rabbi Yosef Shimon say that androgynous Kayin enables his spouse to eat from Truma, he means just or they mean just Truma, but not sacrificial portions that a Kohen receives. He might receive it, but he doesn't enable his spouse to eat from it. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Af Machilo V'Chozev V'Shok. Rabbi Yochanan says, an androgynous Kohen is a full-fledged Zohar, a full-fledged male, and as such, he enables his spouse to partake not only of Truma, but also of the Chozev V'Shok. So that according to the way we are explaining things right now, and according to that which you can see by looking at Rashi, the Tanakama is, or I should say, Reish Lakish is not viewing the androgynous as a Vadai Zohar, when, and Rabbi Yochanan is, as a certain Zohar. The Gemara continues, Ule Reish Lakish, Maishna Chozev Shoik. What is different about Chozev Shoik? That you make a distinction, that you say that Chozev Shoik, the Kohen androgynous, does not enable her to eat from it, because it's de'oraisa, it's something that is bestowed to the Kohen on a Torah level. Truma nami de'oraisa, the Kohen receives Truma also by virtue of the Torah, so the Truma is also a de'oraisa obligation. So they're both on the same Torah level of obligation. Why then do you, Reish Lakish, make a distinction? Hacha b'may askinon. So the Gemara answers, b'truma b'zman hazeh d'rabbonon. The Mishnah, where we say the androgynous enables his spouse to eat from truma, is speaking purely on a rabbinic level, namely nowadays when the obligation to tithe is only rabbinic. Alright, that having been said, we now go back. Avol Bizman Shabes Amish Kayamai. What would the din be regarding the regarding Truma Bizman Mesa Migdish? Lo. So you would say then that the androgynous would not enable his spouse to eat from it. Well, then that gives rise to another question. Aditoni Ein Machil B'Chozev Shoik, instead of going out of the topic of Truma to something else, to Chozev Shoik, instead of teaching the inability of an androgynous to bestow Chozev Shoik rights to a spouse, instead of teaching about Chozev Shoik, Liflog V'Lisni B'Didah, why not make a distinction, teach a distinction within the same topic, within Truma, and state as follows? Why doesn't the Mishnah teach as follows? Bamed Bamamurim. When is it that a Kohen androgynous enables his spouse to eat Truma Durabonon? That's when you're dealing with Truma that's only of a rabbinic nature. Avo Betruma Do Raisa, though, but Truma that is on a Torah level, then Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon will concede that the androgynous does not enable his spouse to eat from it. So why doesn't the Mishnah make a distinction sticking within the realm of Truma? The Gemara responds, Hochi Nami Ka'omar. In fact, this is what Reish Lakish was saying at the outset. Kishu Machilo Machilo B'Truma B'Zman Hazeh D'Rabbonon. When a Kohen androgynous marries a woman, he enables her to eat from Truma nowadays, which is purely rabbinic. The Ein Machilo Bizman Chozev Shoik. Now, so that when Reish Lakish originally made reference to the Chozev Shoik, he wasn't referring to specifically the sacrificial portions, but rather Chozev Shoik represented a time period. When is there a Chozev Shoik? That's when there is a Beis HaMikdash. So so what Reish Lakish is saying, that the Ein Machilo Bizman Chozev Shoik Vafilo B'Truma D'Rabbanan, when the Beis HaMikdash was around, and there would be a Truma obligation, Midoraisa, so even during that period, the Kohen Androgynous would not enable his spouse to eat items whose Truma is only rabbinic. That means even if you're in a Torah time period, we can say right now, according to the standard understanding, during the Torah time period, Dogon Tiroshin Yitzar, grains, wine and oil are chayav in Truma on a Torah level, but not other produce. So that Reish Lakish is saying that when it's a time period of Truma Durabonan, then and only then the Kohen androgynous can machil es ishto b'truma. However, Bizman Beis HaMikdash was a Torah time. Even items during that Torah time that are obligatory to be tithed purely derabbanan, we say the ein machila. We say that even if it's merely truma derabbanan, but since it's a time which of chazav v'shag means it's a doraisa time, it's when the base of mikvah was standing, no truma rights bestowed from kohen androgynous to his spouse. Why not? Because if we would make a concession or a compromise regarding truma derabbanan during the time that there is a mitzvah of truma doraisa, dilma osi la'oichla b'truma doraisa. We're afraid that if he gives her truma from, let us say, his apples, which is always a is merely a derabbanan, he might come to give her truma from his grains as well. So we make a gzeirah during the time of truma d'oraisa. Rabbi Yochanan Omar af machila b'chaza v'shok. Here's a quote from Shitas Rabbi Yochanan above, that the kohen androgynous enables her to eat even from chaza v'shok. Omar le Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, mi savris truma b'zmana zedra rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan asked Reish Lakish, do you hold that truma bizman hazeh is the rabbanan? In other words, if you followed the discussion just before, when we were explaining Reish Lakish, the heter that he said is that the kohen androgynous is machil b'truma nowadays, when all truma ties are purely the rabbanan. So Rabbi Yochanan asks, do you really hold that truma bizman hazeh is rabbinic? Amale in Shani Shone Igul Bigulim Oile. Now here we have a very, very terse piece of Gemara, but there is a tremendous amount of background and additional explanation that must be made before we can really understand this. How do we see in this statement that Reish Lakish holds truma bizman hazeh derabbanan, that the truma tithe nowadays is merely rabbinic? So in order to appreciate this, we take a look at the Rashi. We're looking at Rashi about halfway down the Rashi commentary. She'ani shoyne b'raisa, we're talking about Reish Lakish's understanding of a Tanaic source, which is not cited here, but Rashi alludes to it. Eagle shel truma, botel b'mea shel chulin. An eagle is literally something that's round. Someone had some pressed figs, and that's called an eagle dvela. We'll say pressed figs in a disc or round cake form. And an eagle of truma that got mixed up with 100 others that were of chulin. O eagle shel truma tamea, botel b'mea igulim shel truma Torah. Or if you have a truma tamea, a defiled truma that got mixed with 100 times undefiled truma igulim. The e truma, and Reish Lakish says that in learning that source, you see that the truma becomes voided in 100 times, either the chulin or in the case of the truma tamea, it gets voided in the mixture with 100 times the truma tahora. The e truma bizman hazeh doraisa. Reish Lakish explains that if truma was a tithe that was practiced nowadays on a Torah level, kevon the eagle dover choshev hu, since the eagle, this cake, this pressed cake of figs, is an item of significance, vedarkoi limnos, and it is often counted as individual units, darko limnos means it's normal, it's characteristic of selling them or transferring them by counting individual units. As opposed to, let us say, items that are sold by the sackful or by the boxful, where the individual item isn't itemized. But these igulim are darkoi limnois, lo botio. It wouldn't have been liable to voiding, to cancellation, af agav de trumas te'enim de rabbonin, even though tithing of figs at all times, even when the Beis HaMikdash was around, the tithing of figs was always rabbinic. However, hoyol utruma d'oraisa noheges, if it were at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when truma tithing regarding certain items, as we mentioned earlier, grains, olive oil, and wine, is on a Torah level, lo mivatlinon derabonon. Truma derabonon would not have become voided in a mixture. Gzeira derabonon otu doraisa, as a method of protection on a rabbinic level in anticipation of a mixture of items of a like nature that are on a Torah level. So Reish Lakish is explaining that the Tanaic source that makes reference to the bittul, to the voiding of igulim, and that acknowledges that the igule devela, the pressed figs, can be botel, can be voided in a mixture 100 times its amount, is an indication that truma bizman hazeh is the Rabbanan, because otherwise, since you're dealing with a dover chashuv, something that's darkoi limnois, it wouldn't have been subject or liable to voidance or cancellation in a mixture form. Now we go back to the Gemara. We read the line where Reish Lakish had answered, in Omar Le in Shani Shone Igul Beigulim Oile, that the pressed truma figs could be Ola. Ola means botel, be cancelled in a mixture. And that is so only because it is derabonan, namely the truma bezmanaz as derabonan. Now we continue in the Gemara. We should note, before we go too much further, on the side we have an indication that there is a topic here. This nose lasts until daf pei beis omen al, a very long topic. In yone ta'aroives iser v'heter, we'll be dealing with matters that regard mixtures of that which is prohibited with that which is allowed. So now, in our Gemara, Omar Le, Rabbi Yochanan responds. Now, let us not forget that Rabbi Yochanan, at the opening of this sukya, said that a koyin androgynous enables his spouse to eat even chaze v'shok, even things that are doraisa. And Rabbi Yochanan is reacting to Reish Lakish's entire ukimta of the Mishnah that we're taught that Reish Lakish says that the androgynous enables only the eating of truma, which is merely rabbinic, as it is bizman hazeh. Rabbi Yochanan, though, he disagrees. He responds to Reish Lakish. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan says, and you'll note that we have a very long question, very, very long. It's essentially the question material covers all of Omid Beis except for the last two lines. Very, very long question. Most of the Gemara you'll find we have in brackets, and we'll explain that momentarily. But in the meantime, Rabbi Yochanan says back to Reish Lakish, V'halo ani shoneh, I have a Tanaic source in which it says chaticha bechatichos oile. Chaticha means a piece, And we're talking about a piece of sacrificial offering, of sin offering, that became tomei, a chatos tomei, a piece of chatos tomei, is botel, bechatichos, in pieces of chatos tahora. Now, when you're talking about sacrificial meat, you're talking about things that are, let's say, a Torah level reality. When a sacrifice becomes defiled, when it becomes tomei, so it is something that the Torah acknowledges as tomei. And yet, you can have a piece of something that is osur midoraisa, is tomei midoraisa, and becomes voided in a mixture of pieces that are tahorim. So that just because something is, we'll say, osur or problematic on a doraisa level, that doesn't cancel the possibility of bitol, of voidance in a mixture situation. And as far as your source concerning the figs, mi savris kol shedarko limnos shonino, when the Tanaic source made reference to items of importance repel bitol, they do not become voided in a mixture because of their significance. Well, you got the reading of the source wrong. Don't read it as kol shedarko limnos. That means items that at times are sold or transferred or counted individually. Rather, es shedarkoi limnos shoninu. Only items that are exclusively sold individually, numbered, counted one by one as units, as individual units. Only those things are not subject to bittul. However, items that are kol shedarko limnos, items that are often counted individually but not exclusively such, things like igulei devela and chatichos, things like that, which are sometimes sold in an estimation. You estimate approximately how many there are. Those kind of items, even if they are doraisa, they are subject to bittul. So the fact that you have a Tanaic source that indicates that igulim, igulei dvela, igulim are betelim, that does not show that it is true, that truma is deoraisa, that truma is derabbanon bisman hazeh. And if we skip this very long bracketed section, katani mihas reisha ta'aleh. This is a reference to the Tanaic source that speaks about the chatichos that we only spoke about orally. The Gemara will present it within the bracket section, but it says in that source that the chaticha of chatos is betela, even though it is an item, it is something that is a Torah level problem, an isur doraisa. So that this is a big question on Reish Lakish. Omar, we're going to just continue with the immediate answer so that we see the macro aspect of this sugya beforehand. Omar Reb Chiya Brei Rav Huna B'Nimucha. Reish Lakish tells you that source that deals with the chaticha shochatas tamea, that's botel, is because it doesn't have any significance whatsoever, because it is nimucha, it has become dissolved, it's melted or dissolved meat of chatas tamea that got mixed in with chatois tahoros. But only because it's nimucha can Reish Lakish entertain the possibility of bittul. However, things that are not nimochim, like figs, fig cakes, they would not be botel unless truma bezmanaze is the rabbanon, as Reish Lakish explained before. So that we'll say that Rabbi Yochanan's heavy guns in his attack on Reish Lakish is that source concerning the chaticha getting the chaticha of chatas tamea getting becoming voided in a mixture with chatichos tahoros. Now, all of the Gemara that we find in the bracketed section is essentially background, pure background for the discussion of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. The main point we have already mentioned. We have demonstrated how Reish Lakish is convinced that Truma Bezman Hazeh is the Rabbanon, and it's only that way that the androgynous kohen enables his spouse to eat from Truma. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, holding that Truma nowadays is the Oraisa, and if you think that you're going to prove that Truma nowadays is not the Oraisa by the fact that there is bittul in the case of the Igulei Dveila that we saw referred to in Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan says that doesn't show anything. That doesn't show that it's Dorabonan. It could very well be Doraisa. We have precedent for things that are Doraisa being Botel. And as far as why it's Botel, it's because it's not something of exclusive unit significance. If you were dealing with something of exclusive unit significance, items that are sold exclusively, individually, then Rabbi Yochanan would acknowledge that it would not be subject to bittul. But the mere fact that something is osur midoraisa does not disable it from becoming botel in a mixture. Now, we look into the Gemara itself, at the bottom of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, second line from the bottom. My he. The Gemara is dealing with now the background. What is that that is sold exclusively? Or what is the background? What is the Tanaic source that gives us background for that discussion? We should also point out that when Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish deal with the concept of Es Shadako Limnos and Kol Shadako Limnos, those are two different versions of how to learn the opinion of Rebbe Meir that we will see shortly in the upcoming source. So the Gemara goes on after Mahi. What is it? What is this? What is the background for the machlokas regarding establishing chashivus, establishing significance? Mi shahoyu lo chavile tilson shokilea kerem. Someone who had chavile or bundles, tilson, a certain type of vegetation that grew in a vineyard, so that you have a problem here of mixing vines, grapes, with tilson. In a vineyard must be left to grow without other varieties of vegetation growing amongst the vines. When other vegetation grows amongst the vines, that creates a problem called kilayim. And kilayim is something forbidden to benefit from, and you must burn it. So someone who has bundles of tilson that grew in a vineyard, yudlaku, they are to be burned. Nisarvu bachiros. If the bundles of kilei hakerem tilson got mixed up with others, with other proper kosher bundles of tilson, kulam yidliku, divrei Rabbi Meir, they are all to be burnt. There is no bittul. And that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. There's no bittul. V'chachomim omrim, yalu be'echad u'mosayim. If you have 200 times the kosher amount, you have 200 times kosher over the kilayim tilson, then there is bittul. the number 200 is something that you'll find in halacha in the context of kilayim and orla. You'll find the number 100 times kosher versus a truma, and in other areas of chulin you generally see the number 60 times the you need 60 times kosher to neutralize the unkosher. On the in the Rashi on the top, kulam yidlaku the lo batli kidiktoni taimo, the explanation for Rabbi Meir will be forthcoming. Shahoya Rabbi Meir Oimer kol shadaku limnos mekadesh es hamisarev imo v'ein botel barov. Rabbi Meir says that all those kind of items that it's customary to count individually, when that type of item that's unkosher, that's problematic, gets mixed up with others, there will be no bittul, even though you have a majority of kosher. Shekile hakerem bedavar she'ein b'minyan b'teile b'echrim asayin g'rob b'psochim. Kile hakerem, things that grow in vineyards, if you're dealing with something that's never counted individually, will be batel as long as you have 200 times that amount in kosher form. As it says there in Psochem, be'elu ovrim, in the perek named Elu Ovrim, and the Gemara there quotes a pasuk min hamasayim and mimoser shtei meos shenishtayim bebor mikan l'orlo v'kilei akerem shebeteim b'masayim. That's the source for bittul of for the numbers, the ratios 1 to 200, when you're dealing with things that are not counted individually, items that are sold by the bagful or by estimate, by boxful. We continue in the Gemara, second line from the top. Shehoya Rabbi Meir Omer kol shedarko limnos mekadesh. The word mekadesh will mean ruins. Anything that is at times sold by number, if it's something that's unkosher or unacceptable or tame, will prevent. Voiding or neutralizing when found in a mixture situation, when it's mixed with kosher. So the entire mixture becomes usur, forbidden. Now the phrase we just read, you see the dash on the line kol, that is the way Reish Lakish reads Rabbi Meir. If you skip to the end of this framed section, you see Rabbi Yochanan is dashed on the line. Rabbi Yochanan Sofar es shedarko limnos shaninu. Instead of reading kol shedarko limnos, Rabbi Yochanan reads Rabbi Meir as saying es shedarko limnos. And that means only items that are exclusively sold by unit. And Reish Lakish Sofar kol shedarko limnos shaninu. And Reish Lakish is of the opinion that Rabbi Meir is telling us things that are often sold by unit. What falls into the, let's say, category of machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Well, the example we cited before, the cakes of pressed figs. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the cakes of pressed figs are often, though they're often sold by unit, they're not exclusively sold that way. And therefore, if an unkosher cake of pressed figs, we say unkosher, might be truma tamea, or it's a truma chulin issue, it is able to be voided in a taroivus, in a mixture. According to Reish Lakish, if you're dealing with something that is kol shedak limnos, that is often sold individually, even though not exclusively, like those pressed figs, there is no bittul. We continue in the Gemara text, third line from the top. The Chachomim omrim eino mekadesh elo shisha dvorim bilvad. The Chachomim are very liberal, we'll say, when it comes to bittul, that anything found in a mixture will be subject to voidance if it's outnumbered, with the exception of six items. Rabbi Akiva Oimer Shiva. There are seven items. Elu Hain. And the Gemara lists off, we're not going to dwell on what they are. It goes a perech type of a nut from perech. Perech is the name of a place or a description of what it is. And Rimone Badon, the pomegranates from that place. the chovi astuma sealed barrels of wine, the chilfei tradin, the kolchei kruv. Tradin is a type of vegetation as well as kruv, and delas yevonis. Delas is another type of vegetation. The yevonis delas. These are very significant items that if they are, let's say they are problematic and they're found in a mixture with others that are kosher, there will be no bittul. The Rebbe Kiva, so that there we had listed six items, and Rebbe Kiva moisif af kikra shel balabayas. Rebbe Kiva adds also loaves of a homeowner, a private person that bakes loaves of bread. If there is a problem in the loaf, and it's then found and it's unkosher, we'll say that you can't use it for some reason, and it's found in a mixture with other loaves, there will be no bittul. Haruyin la'orla l'kilei kerem kilei kerem. We speak about, we mention the problems. So amongst these different items, some of these items present an orla problem. An orla is the halacha regarding the first 3 years of a fruit tree. The fruit is forbidden to benefit from. So that in this list of things, those items that are fruit related, their problem, as we described before, would be an orla problem. If it's a non-fruit but rather vegetation, then it would be a problem of kilei hakerem. So those that are orla are considered they're considered orla and would not be botel. And those that are kilei hakerem, the problem they present is a kilayim problem, and likewise there would be no bittul. That means the entire mixture would have to be destroyed, no matter how many times the heter you have against the individual isur. Rabbi Yochanan Sovar, Es Shedarko Limnos Shoninu. Now let's take a look at Rashi. Just a couple lines up from here. Rabbi Yochanan Sovar, Es Shedarko Limnos Shemiyuchot Beminyan, that is exclusively sold individually, Shoninu Delo Bota. We have learned in this Tanaic source, then and only then Rabbi Meir would say there is no bittul. Hilkoch Chatichois V'igulim, the pieces of Chatos and the cakes of figs, Afagav Shedarkon Limnos, even though it's very very customary to count them individually, Hoyol Shedarkon Nami Limocher Bo'imet Batli, since it is customary at times to sell them also by estimation, by estimating their number, as opposed to counting them off individually, they are subject to bittul, to becoming voided in a mixture. Reish Lakish Sovar Kol Shedarkon Limnos Afilu Leprokim. Prokim means at times. Items that are counted individually, even at times, Shoninu Delo Botil, we learn those items would not be subject to cancellation in a mixture. Hilkoch Igol, therefore, regarding the Truma fig cakes, pressed figs in cake form, E Sakadaitel Truma Bismanazed Oraisa, if you were to think that Truma nowadays is binding on a Torah level, lo Hoya Botil, the eagle would not be subject to bittul. And Reb Yochanan responds to that, well, what about the source dealing with Chatichos, which you're dealing there with things that are Doraisa, and there is bittul. So we continue in the Gemara. My Chaticha, what is the reference to Chaticha that Reb Yochanan had made? And you notice we have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can check out your Gemara Daf Payaf Omed Aleph, but go back to Omed Aleph, the lower part of the page, you'll see a corresponding arrow. Here the Gemara is asking, what did Rabbi Yochanan mean when he made reference to Chaticha Shebechatichos? Desanya. And here we have a source, and it presents a couple of cases. You have Chaticha Shel Chatos Tameo, Shenis Arva Bemeo Chaticha Shel Chatois Toros. A piece of chatos, of sin offering meat that became tome, became defiled, that got mixed with 100 pieces of chatos toros, of sin offerings that are tahor. V'chein prusa shalechem aponim tameh ashen arva b'mea prusa shalechem aponim tahoros. Ta'ale. Lechem aponim is the showbread. So if you have a piece of lechem aponim that was became tameh, that got mixed up with 100 pieces of lechem aponim that are tahor, ta'ale. Ta'ale is a key word over here. It means there is bitol. Rabbi Yehuda Omer loy ta'ale. Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that there is no bitol. He holds that when you have two like substances, we call that min bimino, there is no bitol. And as far as what the reason for that is, what the basis of that is, that he has a source for holding like that. Aval, we continue. Chaticho shel chatos tohiro, shinisarva b'mea chaticho shel chulin tohoros. If one piece of sin offering that's tohor. Here you have a mixture of tohor with tohor. You can see with our diagonal dashed underlining, tohoro and tohoros. You see that, but in this case, as opposed to in the Roman numeral number 1, the first part of this source, there was a mixture of tamea with tohoros. Here you have tohoro with tohoros. Everything here is undefiled. So you have the piece of chatos tahora that got mixed up with 100 pieces of chulin tahoros. V'chein prusos shalechem aponim tahora shinisarva b'mea prusos shel chulin tahoros. Divrei hakol loy tala. Everyone will agree. Even the Tanakama will agree that there is no bitol. The reason for this is Rashi explains is because here, you don't have to, in order to deal with the mixture and not throw it out, you have an alternative to relying on cancellation, and that is you would sell the entire mixture to a Kohen. Because a Kohen is entitled to eat from sacrificial, from sin offering meat. And so it's mixed with the chulin, so that's an alternative, a preferred solution. Give it all to a Kohen instead of relying on bitol. Rashi points this out across from your divrei hakolo tala tanakama moida. The first opinion in this source will agree to the idea that Rabbi Yehuda expressed before of lo tala hayol ve'efsher lemoichon lekohen behefsid mo'ot. You can sell the mixture to a Kohen at a minor loss in terms of value, because not everyone is a customer for such a thing. Only kohanim are. Therefore, you'll sell the entire mixture to a kohen. V'chaticha uprusa darkon limnos. The piece of chatos or the slice of bread are things that are at times counted individually. Mishum hefsit muot lo mevatlino nisur doraisa. Because of the slight loss in value, we're not going to allow the isur doraisa to be botel. V'afagav the eagle botel b'chulin v'lo mezamnino le l'kayin hosamu the eagle gufei truma derabonon hi. V'resha tale, in the resha of this source where we saw the chaticha shechatas tamea that got mixed up with the 100 chatichos of chatas toros, there we do allow bitol. The einlam takona el asrefa. Otherwise, the only solution would be burning it. There's no idea of selling it to someone. Viko hefsit kotshim, and there would be the loss of the kotshim would end up getting burnt. So, and there we were dealing with the entire mixture was all sin offering pieces. So there we do rely on bitol. And just to review the main point, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, we rely on bitol even though you're dealing with something that is osur midoraisa, and even though it is something that at times is sold individually. Those factors, according to Rabbi Yochanan, do not prevent bitol from taking place. And hence, as Rabbi Yochanan said before, you cannot prove from the eagle case that the truma bizman hazeh is deoraisa. Because even if it was, let me say that again, you can't prove from the eagle case that it's derabonan, correction? That it's derabonan. Because even deoraisa situations that are parallel are subject to bitol. Now we go back to the Gemara. Kotoni mihas reisha taleh. We saw in the reisha the chaticha of chatas was botel in the 100 chatichos of chatas tahora. Even though you're dealing with something that's doraisa and it's something that at times is sold individually, and that's a problem for Reish Lakish. Omar Rabbi Chiya brei de Rav Huna. Rav Chiya answers be ni mucha. In the case of the chatichos, they had dissolved, and therefore there is no significance to them whatsoever. And therefore there is bittul. But once you're dealing with something that has some significance, there would be no bittul. E hachi, the Gemara asks, if it's so that you're talking about nimucha, my time of the Rebuta, why does Rebuta say that there is no bittul? The Gemara answers, and we continue at the top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Rebuta letame. This is a reflection of Rebuta as his opinion appears elsewhere. The Omar min bemino lo botel. Two like substances where one is prohibited and one is allowed, and even though the permitted amount is greater, is the majority, there is no bittul. The minority of prohibited substance will not become void in the mixture. Avol. The Gemara now starts a question. You notice it lasts a number of lines. Avol lo nimuach mai. In the case of the chaticha tmeya, with the chatichos toros, if it wouldn't have been dissolved, then what does Reish Lakish say about that? Lo ta'ale? Is he going to say then that there would be no bittul, that the Tanakam will acknowledge that there is no bittul? Well then, Aditoni, instead of coming on to the Seifa, that was the section of Roman numeral number 2 in the original source, instead of teaching the Seifa where there was no bittul, which dealt with chatos with chulin, you're already going out of the realm of sacrifices because you're introducing chulin, common meat. Why, if you want to demonstrate non-bittul, do you have to go to chulin? Aditoni, instead of teaching avol chaticho shel chatos tahoiro shenis arva b'meo chaticho shel chulin tahoiro lo itale, instead of citing that example where there's no bittul, where you went out of the realm of sacrifices, niflog the nisni betida, you could have stayed within the realm of chatos temeya with chatois tahoros and taught as follows: bamed v'mamurim, when is it that there is bittul, that there is voidance in a mixture? B'shini mucha, when you have the chatois, the piece of chatos Tameya that got mixed up with the Chatas Tahoros, where it's dissolved, so there's bittul. Avoloni mucha lo tale. But if it wasn't dissolved, there would be no bittul. Now, the source doesn't teach like that. So that presents a problem for Reish Lakish's explanation. In other words, it would seem that the source is not talking about a case of nimucha. The Gemara answers that the source is talking about a case of nimucha, but nevertheless, the source had a different agenda. Tahoros betahoros odif lay. It was more appropriate or more of greater interest for the source to teach us a case of tahor. Of Chatas Torah getting mixed up with Chulin Tahoros. If we look in the Rashi, third line from the top, Tahora B'Torah Adif Olei Lashminan, to inform us, to teach us, the Afagav, the Shtein Tahoros, even though both are Tahor, V'Shayach Behu Bitulot Tfei, we find the a greater likelihood of bittul under circumstances like that. Ashkam Maseches Trumos, the Truma Tahora B'Chulin Tahoran Hakol Modim Sholim. We have a precedent in Maseches Truma that when you have a mixture of two items, one is that, but both are tahor, that everyone agrees there is bittul. Ubetruma Tameya Betorah Chalukim Beisham Beis Hillel. The old dinimucha, and furthermore, we're talking about a case where it's dissolved, v'afilu achilo tale. That's what's interesting in this particular source through the eyes of Reish Lakish. That even though we have everything going in the direction of bittul, still the Seifa says no bittul. Why? So, because we had the alternative of being able to sell it to a Kohen. So that the source, there was a bigger chiddush in teaching me the Seifa as it is of Torah v'Tahoros, instead of what was suggested of Lifloi v'Nisni b'Didah, to stay within the topic of Tameah with Tahoros, as was the case in the Reisha. The Gemara will now ask, and this will be a sugya that with which we have several answers to this particular question. You can see on the side of the Nosei Mivne heading where triangles will appear. Sidra Shel Tshuvos LaSheila, the triangles represent a series of answers to the question. L'Reish Lakish, according to Reish Lakish, Maishno Reisha, what is different about the beginning of the Braisa Shel Chatichas Chatas Diyesh Bittul Umaishno Seifa Dein Bittul? Why in the Reisha, according to Reish Lakish, is there bittul, and in the Seifa there is no bittul? So that's the Gemara's question. Ula Reish Lakish, Maishno Reisha, what is different about the Reisha where we saw Tamea with Tahora and there's bittul? Umaishno Seifa, where we saw the Tahora with the Tahoros and there was no bittul? Omar Rav Shisha Braid Ravidi. So Rav Shisha says, as we explained earlier, there are two versions that you can find in the Rashi, but we're going to stick with the version that we already mentioned, that the source dealing with the Chaticha, that was the source that we saw on the previous Omid Beis, the Chaticha Shel Chatas, that source was entirely talking about dissolved pieces. So he says, Reisha Betumas Mashkin. The Rabbanan, in the Reisha, you were dealing with a problem that was on a rabbinic level. In other words, the Chatos Tameah, how did it become Tameh? Because it touched a vessel that had been in contact with liquids that were defiled. On a Torah level, liquids do not defile vessels. That's generally speaking. The Rabbanan said that nevertheless liquids will defile vessels. Let's defile liquids will defile a vessel. That's a rabbinic phenomenon, without getting into the details as to why they made that takona. But nevertheless, the Reisha describes a piece of chatos that became tameh only on a rabbinic level. Hence, it's not a serious problem. Therefore, it lends itself to bittul. Seifa d'oraisa. The Seifa was dealing with a problem on a Torah level, namely a piece of chatos tahora getting mixed with chulin tahoros. For a non kohen to eat a chatos would be an isor d'oraisa. So when it gets mixed up with chulin, that mixture is forbidden on a Torah level to a non kohen. We have a bracketed section, and the note on the side indicates these sograim l'shem dilu kidei lishmo al retzef hatshuvos. By skipping the brackets, we then go into a second answer to the series of answers to the question ma'ishna reisha ma'ishna seifa, and that's what Rabo Omar, and that's what Rabo does in the second triangle. But before we do that, having established the structure of the Gemara, let's take a look in the bracketed section. The Gemara raises a question. It's a long question. Avol Tumas Sheretz Mai. You said that the Reisha that establishes that there is Bittul, it's because you were talking about a Tumah that's the Rabbanan. But if, let us say, the Chatos piece came into contact with a dead Sheretz, a dead sheretz is a dead creature, that the Torah enumerates eight types of creatures that in their death, when they're dead, they communicate tumah. So you have a dead sheretz that touches the piece of chatos. according to, and that defilement is on a Torah level. So then in that case, what are you going to say? If the piece of Chatis Tameah and Tumas Sheretz affected it, gets mixed up with Chatichos of Chatis Torah, what are you going to say then? Lo ta'aleh, that there is no bittul? In other words, you explained, according to Rav Shisha, the only reason in the ratio there was bittul is because you were dealing with Tumah de Rabbanan, rabbinic level Tumah. But if it were Torah level Tumah, there would be no bittul. Then Aditani Seifa, instead of the Seifa going out of the realm of Tumah and speaking about Chatas Torah with Chulin Tahora, stay within the realm of Tumah. By the way, this question is very similar to the question that you saw in the second line from the top of the Gemara. The idea of staying within the same realm in order to point out a contrast instead of going to a second realm, a different realm, to point out that very same contrast. So, Aditoni Seifa, instead of the Seifa teaching, Avo Chaticho Shel Chatos Tahoiro, Shinis Arva Bemeo Chaticho Shel Chulin Tahoiro Is Lo Itale. You said, in that case, there is no bittol. Lo Tale means there is no cancellation, there's no voidance. Niflog Velisni Bedida. You could have stayed within the original example of Tamea with Tahora and say as follows, Bamed Vamamurim, when is there bittol? Betumas Mashkin. Avo Betumas Sheretz Lo. But when you're dealing with Tumas Sheretz, there would be no bittol. So why did the Tanaic source not present a contrast like that? So the Gemara answers, it could have presented that. However, Tahoira B'Tahoros Adif Lay. The Tana was more interested in presenting a case of where two items that are tahor got mixed one with the other, and that and to teach me that there's no bittul, and there's the chiddush being, even though when you have two tahora substances getting mixed up with one another, as we saw earlier, there's more likelihood of bittul. Nevertheless, here we are machmir and saying there is no bittul, since you're dealing with items that are usur on a Torah level, namely the pieces of chatas tahora is also midaraisa for a non-kohen, even when it's in a mixture form. So we now go back to the Gemara. Rabba Omar, in response to the question of why, according to Reish Lakish, in the Reisha of the Chaticha case, do we see there is bittul, and in the Seifa, no bittul. So Rabba says, Reisha equals Isur Lav. It's that which is prohibited. You're dealing with a piece of sacrificial meat that is Tomei. The consumption of that, of eating Tomei Kochim, is a negative command, but it doesn't carry with it any Kores. Seifa, where there was no bittul, has in it a Isur Kores, a potential for an Isur Kores. And what would that be? That would be a case where a person who is himself defiled would come and eat the kodshim that are still tohor. That would result in kores. And Rashi points out that, don't forget it, we're answering for the benefit of Reish Lakish. So the source is talking once again about Nimucha. That's according to the first shot that you find in Rashi. Rashi has an alternative explanation as well, but we want to try to keep things simple. So now we go on in the Gemara. You can see we have a double underline. You'll see highlighting where the Gemara has a dechiyah, an objection, a rejection of that which was said. So you have that over here, and you'll see later with regard to Rav Ashi and his answer, Gemara rejects that as well. So the Gemara asks, Feha Rabba Hudi Omar, Kol Bidoraisa, whenever you're dealing with problems that are existent on a Torah level, Lo Shna Isur Lav, Lo Shna Isur Kores. There is no distinction to be made. And that there would, and according to Rabba, once you have something that's an Isur Dorabonon, an Isur Doraisa, that is, there is no Bittul. so that if we are concerned with, if the Rabbanon are concerned with an Isur Kores, they will also be concerned with an Isur Lav. Kashia, so this presents a difficulty for Rabba. Rav Ashi Omar, Seifa, why in the Seifa is there no Bittul when you have the Chatas getting mixed in with the Chulin? Mishum, Dehavi Le Dover Shiei Shlo Matirin. Because it is something that has, we'll say, permission. It has something that's permission. Permission to a Kohen. You can sell it to a Kohen. The Choldover Shiei Shlo Matirin Afilu Be'elef Lo Batil. Even when it's mixed in with 1,000 times its quantity, it will not be voided. Now Rav Ashi used an expression, and that expression was Dover Shiesh Lomatirin. The Gemara raises as an objection to Rav Ashi the technical definition of Dover Shiesh Lomatirin doesn't conform to Rav Ashi's use of that term. So what is Dover Shiesh Lomatirin in general? What does it really mean? It's something that is currently usur, but with the passage of time, that will become mutter. There are other possible situations where something that is currently usur, but if you do something, it will then become mutter. That is a Dover Shiesh Lomatirin. So the Gemara brings Rav Ashi to task by saying, just because this mixture is something that is mutter to a kohen, that doesn't make it a Dover Shiesh Lomatirin, concerning which we say, by the way, that as we saw in the Gemara, Dover Shiesh Lomatirin is never Botel. But is this a true Dover Shiesh Lomatirin? We should also add, when we say the Dover Shiesh Lomatirin doesn't have Bittel, the philosophy behind that is, instead of relying on voidance in order to eat it now, why not wait till that time passage takes place and then enjoy it beheter, in a permissible form? So that instead of, well, just to repeat ourselves, instead of relying on cancellation in order to justify its use or its consumption, just let passages of time set in and then use the whole mixture in a permitted fashion. So the Gemara says regarding Ravashi's answer, the Hodir Rav Ashi Badusa Hi. That which Rav Ashi says that this is an example of a Dover Shiesh Lomatirin, this is a Badusa. It's something we can say that it's a joke, or it's inaccurate. It's something that he made up. And as we explain, because Dover Shiesh Lomatirin means something that is Osir now but will be Mutter afterwards. So the Gemara analyzes, Leman, for whom it can this be described as a Dover Shiesh Lomatirin, meaning something that will be mutter only after the passage of time? If you're dealing with you have a mixture and you want to present it to a kohen, you have a piece of chatich of chatos tahora in many more pieces of chulin tahorim. Well, mishra shari, it's mutter right now. There's no issue of waiting for a passage of time in order for it to become allowed to the kohen. Eli Yisrael, and if you're talking about for a non-Kohen, well, Liolam Usser, it's Usser forever. And you're dealing, why is that? Because you have mixed in sin offering meat, and sin offering meat is something that a Tzar is not allowed to have. So it's not something that will be mutter with the passage of time. So hence, you cannot describe it as a Dovar Shiesh Lo Matirin. And that's why, Ela Ha de Rav Ashi, Badusahi. Therefore, the Gemara concludes that Rav Ashi's answer is simply something that is Badusa. It is inaccurate. It is not something that you can rely on. We are, in effect, pausing today's shiur in the middle of a discussion. The next piece of Gemara, you can see where the Gemara focuses on Rabbi Yochanan, who had indicated till now, contrary to Reish Lakish, that Truma Bizman Hazeh is Doraisa, and hence Rabbi Yochanan had no problem with if the Mishnah is saying that the androgynous enables the his wife to eat truma, he could also enable her to eat from Chazeh Vishok, as Rabbi Yochanan said back on Pei Aleph, Omid Aleph. And with that in mind, the Gemara will then lead into the question, does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that truma b'zman hazeh is de'oraisa? When, as we go through this Gemara, we will see that position being difficult to ascribe to Rabbi Yochanan. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shi'ur for today.